Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson. You are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on this magnificent, now premium network known as Blog Talk Radio as we reach around the world. To our listeners in New Zealand, Ireland, England, and all across North America, we've got a fantastic show planned tonight, hopefully, if we make the phone connection all the way up to Vancouver, British Columbia. Lori Biagini is going to join us, fantastic singer, musician, has a couple CDs out we're going to be talking about, and also, which I find quite amazing, she has several degrees in natural sciences, so she's got a direct contact with the outdoors, and that's what we're all about. And we'll also talk about her adventures in wild bird photography. And that'll be happening tonight on Larry Batson's Wild World. As always, handling the technical responsibilities, Melissa Hovey and Wayne Lawson.
You have 10 seconds to complete your recording. Please continue after the tone.
As always, handling the technical responsibilities. I have no idea what happened, but handling the technical responsibilities. Melissa Hovey and Wayne Lawson, of course, the music director from RadioMom.fm, Jim
now.
Johnson.
Press pound. To listen to your message, press 1. To erase and re-record, press 7. For delivery options such as urgent.
You know, the Taliban is messing with us tonight.
I think you're right.
And the voice from the massive studios in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished and honorable Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Good evening, Mr. Batson. How's everything at the Batson Wildlife Preserve?
Well, at the Compounder Preserve, it's fine. The Blog Talk Radio has been infiltrated tonight. Oh, my gosh, I don't know what's happened. That's what happens. We go across the border, we head up to Canada, and it goes astray. But we do love Canada, don't we, Dr. Day?
Yes, we do.
So what's going on in your world? They're talking about, as if we need any more, snow and ice tonight.
I know we were at 65 last week, and this week we're, you know, down to zero, and snowstorms and ice, freezing rain, all waiting for us in the morning.
That's what they're saying. I sincerely hope that they're wrong. It's nothing what they're predicting, because I hope to take the animal ambassadors and the wife and I and the animal truck off to Trafalgar, Indiana, to do a wildlife program, so I sincerely hope they're wrong. I'm really sickened now by the sight of snow. For the folks up in Minnesota and Wisconsin, we do love you. I know you love the cold weather and the snow and everything, but here in the Midwest, we're pretty much over it.
We've had enough, yes.
You heard about my adventure last week, didn't you, Dr. Day?
Share it with me.
Well, I was coming home to the compound, and
your cowboy story. You were a cowboy last week.
Yeah, I felt like Roy Rogers and John Wayne and a little bit of, who's that bronc rider? Gosh, I can't think of his name. It'll come to me. But anyway, we're going home, or I'm going home, and I've got, it's dark, and of course we live out here in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden I look to the left side of the road and I see this black blob. And I'm saying to myself, knowing my expertise in animals, that looks like a cow. and it looks like it's not in its fence. It's like free. And I'm thinking to myself, some of these folks just race down these country roads, and here's a black cow at night. Oh, that could be very bad. So I turned around, and not really having a clue what I was going to do, I spotted the cow again. It hadn't moved too far, still along the side of the road. Wasn't long after that, here come a youngster that lived in the area that, God bless his soul, is a military man. He just happened to be home on leave, but he was certain he knew where the cow belonged. So we knocked on that door, and apparently all they had was goats. In fact, they asked me, is Are you sure it wasn't a goat? I said, if it was a goat, that's the biggest goat I've ever seen. So they thought they knew who it belonged to. So they headed down the road with their flashlights walking. And I thought to myself, I'm going to climb in that animal truck and I'm going to see if I can head that cow off or that bull or whatever and maybe drive it with the truck, drive it back to its home range. So I'm driving down the road, Doc, and I look off to the left and I see this driveway and I see a black blob. I say, oh, there it is. So I pull in there and basically block the driveway. Luckily, there's fence on both sides. And there was the black cow with about six of his buddies. They were both heading toward that opening in the gate where now my truck's at. So I just turned on the brights and yelled and screamed and drove them back into their fenced facility.
You
pretty
just
exciting,
never
huh?
know, do you? Well, wildlife will show up on your way home. And all you had was tiger food in the back, so you, that wouldn't have done you any good.
That's right. So I was, there was the cow and everything, and it was, I rescued him, and the farmer called me and thanked me, and I thought, I've done my good deed for the month. And besides, that was quite a bit of fun.
Yeah, you're going to have to carry a cowboy hat in the truck from now on.
You know, I was thinking, though, if I'd put on a cowboy hat, they may have attracted the cows. Anyway, the following portion of Larry Batson's Wild World is brought to you by Alphabet Swamp, the new children's book by Cheryl, and yours truly, Larry Batson. Cheryl writes the books. I illustrate them. Order your autographed copy today at www.larrytheanimalguy.com or send check or money order for $10 per copy to WES 4140 North, 600 West, Greencastle, one word, Indiana, 46135. Shipping and handling is included.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good evening, all. The Wild World News.
I love that.
Good evening, all. The Wild World News starts out in Hawaii tonight. Are you ready to go to Hawaii?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Kauai residents were surprised to see a humpback whale giving birth at Whaler's Cove in Poipu over the weekend. The mother gently pushed the newborn up as if to show the baby to the world. Now, Whaler's Cove manager, Marine Martin, told the Garden Island News that the whale was so large that the onlookers wondered how she could turn around in such a small cove.
How did she do it?
Well, she had a humpback, I guess, and that made it easier for her to turn around.
You know, that's great news because we had Al Jardine of the Beach Boys on. He's quite active in the preservation of whales off the coast
right.
of California. In fact, I believe. I know he just went on tour in Japan with his band for their new album, Postcard from California, but he had also gone on a whale-watching trip, which he missed last year, so he said desperately he wanted to do that this year. So I bet he's absolutely delighted.
Yeah, that's great news. All right, why was there a record number of lemons and butter sold last year?
And butter? Why?
Yep. Well, Maine trappers caught a record 93.4 million pounds of lobster last year, valued at $308 million. Now, the harvest broke the previous record of 81.2 million pounds. The top year was 2005 when the harvest was worth $317.9 million to lobstermen and women.
That's a lot of lobsters.
That is a lot of lobsters. That's pretty unbelievable when you think about it.
Well, it is, and you always wonder, you know, how much can the ocean give before, you know, it runs out? But apparently the amount, I don't know, born or whatever the cycle is gone up this year. Did I ever tell you my lobster story?
No, please do.
Oh, well, I certainly will. Well, I was commissioned years ago for an outdoor show to put together a huge lobster tank and exhibit. And we had about 200 or so lobsters flown in from Maine live, and we'd set them up on display. And the challenge of the lobsters for the folks was, that's clear, they had to guess or try and count how many lobsters were in this tank to win a prize. Of course, the lobsters are constantly moving, so, and there was 200 of them or so. But I'd always thought that lobsters were scavengers completely. And when one of the lobsters, you know, after that many, one passed away, I totally assumed that the other lobsters would probably try to eat it if we didn't get out of the tank.
Right.
Well, that wasn't the case at all. Every one of those lobsters would come up to that the one that had passed and touch it with their two front pinchers and then walk away from it. And I will tell you, Dr. Henry Day, for months after seeing that, I could not eat a lobster. You could bring a whole tub of butter. It wasn't happening. I mean, gosh, that was quite a unique experience. Okay.
All right, well, let's head off to Fresno, California, where the Kit Fox feast in a fast food paradise. Now, scientists have long known that the endangered San Joaquin kit foxes live in Bakersfield, raiding the trash bins for half-eaten hot dogs, donuts, burritos, tofu, whatever they can come across. That's their dinner. Now, it turns out that this critter has adapted to city life so well and is basically eating an essentially human diet and thriving. Now, the kit fox was protected in the 1960s, even before the Endangered Species Act. Now, they're growing a lot bigger, and they're living a lot longer than the foxes in the wild. The only downside for the city-dwelling foxes is high cholesterol.
Well, they tell you not to feed your dog table scraps. It's not healthy for them. And you know, Dr. Henry Day, after your years of research, that the more food that these type of animals, foxes and coyotes, eat, that means the larger the litters. They have more.
Right.
That falls true with many animals. So the folks are thinking they're helping, but really they're hurting. And, you know, the old story, which I was getting ready to tell, we had an opportunity to get the kit fox that had been on tour with ZZ Top to use in our wildlife education programs. And that was in early 80s. And I still kick myself to this day because it was the nicest little animal. I wish we had acquired that. Okay.
All right. You did have an Arctic fox for a while, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Arctic,
yeah.
Name, I believe.
Yeah, all the guys that work up on the pipeline, they feed these Arctic. I mean, there's hundreds of Arctic fox that hang around the Alaskan pipeline that the workers feed. They come. Well, I'm not saying they're pets, but they lose their fear of people. I'm just full of information tonight.
all right. Well, while we're in California... Mm-hmm. Here's some good news, and it's finally about time. California may ban possession of shark fin. California legislators introduced a bill to ban the possession, sale, and distribution of shark fins used in a traditional Chinese soup that can sell for as much as $40 a bowl. Now, shark finning involves fishers slicing off the shark's fin and throwing it back into the sea to die. Now, last year... Hawaii enacted a ban, and Oregon and Washington are considering the same.
Every state that is along that coastline where these sharks and where this occurs should have that ban. Billy Sandifer from Padre Island, Texas, was on or been on our show a couple of times, and he's expressed his concern about this. He says it is a nasty, nasty practice, and it needs to be outlawed.
I have to agree.
Yep.
All right, well, let's head off to God's country. And where would that be?
That would be Colorado or maybe British Columbia.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, I know you have six tigers at your place.
Yes.
Well, in Denver, Colorado, 25 lions from Bolivia will get a new home at the Wild Animal Sanctuary near Kennisburg. They were rescued mostly from circuses and traveling shows. Now, at the sanctuary, the lions will be able to roam over 80 acres. The sanctuary has about 270 wild animals, including lions, tigers, and bears. Oh, my. and wolves.
Well, that's fantastic. Gosh, what lucky animals having the chance to live in Colorado.
I have to agree with you.
Yes, that's fantastic.
All right, now you have animals that educate. Well,
yes.
Waynesboro, Virginia, the Wildlife Center is naming its education hawk Ruby following an online contest. The Teaching and Research Wildlife Hospital said the name got more than 35% of the votes. The red-tailed hawk will soon be visiting schools as one of the center's environmental ambassadors. Ruby was admitted to the center last year, unfortunately, after being hit by a car.
Well, that's fantastic news. It'll be a fantastic animal ambassador, and, you know, I like the name. Don't take your love to town.
And stay out of the road.
Stay out of the road, absolutely.
All right, Boston, Massachusetts. Transit officials want Melissa Morehouse, 30, of Alston, to pay $650 to cover the cost of sanitizing a Red Line subway car to protect passengers from germs such as salmonella that may have been left by Penelope the snake. Now, the 3-foot-long pet boa constrictor got away from her on January 6th and hid in the car for nearly a month before it was spotted by a commuter.
Oh. Well, I'm glad the snake survived. And they have to disinfect this car?
Yep, $650 worth.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll do it for $200 and bring a bottle of Lysol. The people that ride that train spread more germs than that snake, so I'll tell you that right now.
I'm going to have to agree with you. And I'll help you clean it. What the hell?
Okay. It'll be a spring break.
All right. To finish up our story, we're going ice fishing tonight in Raymond, Maine. The state's biggest ice fishing derby, listen to this, is offering $100,000 to anyone who catches a record-breaking lake trout.
Wow.
In the 11th annual event.
Wow.
The Bago Ice Lake Ice Fishing Derby will be this weekend on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, man.
Now, the event is put on by the Sebago Lake Rotary Club and draws up to around 6,000 ice fishermen. Well, this year, I bet there's going to be a few more.
Well, I bet there will be. You know, only two words keep me away from that event. Ice fishing.
Well, yeah. Yeah,
I'm sickened by ice, so I have no desire to travel and try that lottery.
The only ice I want to see is in my iced tea.
That's right. So that's the Wild World News for tonight, Dr. Day.
That's it.
The Wild World News brought to you by Dr. Henry Day, sponsored by Alphabet Swamp, the new children's book by Cheryl and Larry Batson. Hey, order your autographed copy today at our website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com, or send a check or money order for $10, that's all, to WES 4140 North 600 West, Greencastle, Indiana, 46135. That includes shipping and handling. A big thank you to Peter and Kathy Weimer and We Want You Cottages. Visit today this fantastic resort on the banks of Chautauqua Lake, way up in western New York, and there are fantastic, I use the word fantastic, addition to their website, iKids Fishing, promoting getting youngsters interested in the fantastic sport of fishing, and also Tire Service Plus and owner Jerry Jones, just saw Jerry last week, taking care of America's auto maintenance needs. They keep our animal truck on the road traveling thousands of miles with our wild animal ambassadors. Here's their number. Give them a call, 317-243-0700. That's Tire Service Plus. One of our underwriters for Larry Batson's Wild World. And they make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
Kind of place where you can just get love.
Retro 60s, I was trying to analyze it. It's fantastic, kind of like Leslie Gore with the Beach Boys, the Searchers, with a little British Invasion sprinkled on top, all the way from her home in Vancouver, British Columbia. Good evening, Laurie. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
How is everything?
Oh, so you're hearing me now?
Yes, we are hearing you very quietly.
Well, I was waiting for the phone call for a long time, and... Nothing. So I thought I'd call in myself, and I've been trying to get into your chat room, but it won't let me register. So,
well, we're glad you're here.
I'm here, so I phoned you.
Well, thank you very much. We had desperate efforts. In fact, before we came on, the folks over there, I threatened the Taliban was responsible. So it's probably all my fault once it's all said and done. Some miscommunication, but it's great to have you on the show.
Thank you. Well, thanks for having me.
Well, I have to tell you, you sent us both of your albums, A Far Out Place, very good, right in the wave, fantastic. And my co-host, who takes care of the Wild World News each evening, I kindly loaned him A Far Out Place, so he's had a chance for the last week and a half to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Mine has been in the animal truck in the CD player constantly, so.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's been great. I don't know quite how to describe it, but I love it.
Well, thank you.
I do. I raise my hand. It sounds like it came over the radio in 1964.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Well, that's
yeah.
awesome, because, I mean, that's my favorite time in music. So even though I wasn't even alive at the time, but...
You know, that's what is so amazing. In fact, when we had Al Jardine on the show a few weeks ago, we talked about that era of music. And at the time, we really did not appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
We had taken it so much for granted. I mean, here would be the situation. And when I listened to the mix of your albums, it reminded me very much of the 45s, where it was just this tremendous wall of sound. And the day, it's not much different than now. You pay 99 cents for a download. In those
mm-hmm.
days, you'd pay 99 cents for what we called a 45. The kids absolutely do not know what I'm talking about, but a little record. And
mm-hmm.
you would go into the record store and you'd say, I would like the new Beatles or the Beach Boys or the Kinks or the Dave Clark Five, the Searchers, Leslie Gore, Jackie DeShannon, Dusty Springfield. I got to take a breath. And it was amazing. And this is what this all reminds me of. So, and to realize that you weren't even alive in that era, that's just incredible.
Well, I was born in 66, so the year of Pet Sounds, so... I mean, I was toddler, you know, kind of toddler around that time. I remember I was, I don't remember, but yeah, I do remember. I was I was playing in the sandbox in the backyard, and I was singing Hey Jude at the top of my lungs, you know. Like, anyways.
Well, you already had a good taste for music.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean,
I grew up in a country and western household, so anything I heard was probably through the TV or something.
Were your parents big fans of the 60s music?
Country and Western.
Country and Western. Wow, this is phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm certainly glad you've discovered it, and it's such a big influence on your music. And you know what I had told you a while back? Well, I hadn't told you personally, but I'd sent you an email.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had posted a song from YouTube by Roger McGuinn, Gene Clark, well, the Byrds.
Mm-hmm.
I Feel a Whole Lot Better.
Oh, I love that song.
Oh, I do too. It's one of my favorite Byrds songs.
Absolutely love it.
In fact, it was the, to tell you the truth, I bought the album Mr. Tambourine Man, and I believe it was the second cut.
Yeah.
And Mr. Tambourine Man was an extraordinary song. But when that ripped through the speakers and heard that for the first time, I think for about a month, that was my favorite. And I think you should record that.
Oh, well, I practice guitar to that one. You know, I'm learning guitar now, so practice my Stratocaster.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, you've got a good choice in guitars, that's for sure.
Well, I'd love to have a Rickenbacker one day, but I'm going to start with a Strat. So.
So not only do you have this fantastic music career and tens of thousands of friends on Facebook, but we've also discovered about you is that you are quite the outdoorsman. And you have several degrees in various natural sciences. Now, I have them all here, but would you mind telling this worldwide audience your expertise as far as the various degrees you have in college?
Well, okay, I have a Bachelor of Science degree in physical geography, and the specialization is biogeography, which is the study of plant and animal communities as they relate to their habitat and with physical geographic factors such as climatology, the soils, the basically it depends on the plant communities that determine the animal distributions and, well, I'm getting kind of scientific here, but
Dr. Day,
sort of,
she's a heck of a lot smarter than me.
Well, the thing is, you know, I've always wanted to be a musician, but I didn't want to be poor, so I thought, okay, I'll go for a science degree, get a good job, and then maybe later I'll see if I can do something with music, but I never thought I'd be doing this, what I'm doing now, so.
So there you are up in the, well, you're in Vancouver. I was getting ready to say the wilds of British Columbia, but Vancouver, one of the greatest cities in the world. And you do have a chance to get into the outdoors, I assume.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I mean, the city is on the coast, and we are surrounded by mountains and forests, and, you know, we have the Fraser River here, and there's all kinds of parkland and places to go hiking and estuaries and bird sanctuaries, and it's really, really super cool place to live, actually.
I can't think of any place any much better, not unless it was Colorado, which is my favorite place in the world that I've been to. But I have been into British Columbia. I take that back because we went into Banff and Jasper and all that. And it's just amazing, that country.
Yeah, the Rockies are beautiful.
So do you get to go back and spend some real time? Do you ever camp out and that sort of thing, go to the bear country and...
Well, I don't camp so much anymore. I did in my 20s, but, but I mean, we do go for drives and stuff. We stick to a lot of day trips. We like to go, one of my most favorite places is an estuary that's close to the airport, and, it's a bird sanctuary, and there's all kinds of wonderful birds there that, we like to take pictures of, and it's just a really nice hike there and vegetation, and it's just, and it's not very far away either. So, yeah, we spent a lot of time there. And then there was another forested area near a bog, because we have a very large bog area. And I saw a couple of great horned owls in the daytime, which is apparently quite rare to see them in the daytime.
It is.
Yeah. So we got some pictures of them, but they're kind of blurry because we were far away. But, yeah.
You know, the owls are quite... Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Well, we do like to get out and go and look at nature and stuff, especially, you know, when stuff gets kind of crazy with all the fast-paced city stuff. You just want to get out and get some fresh air and get away from the internet, crazy internet, and just go and see some nature. And it just really, it's so wonderful.
It is probably inspirational in the creation and development of your music, I assume.
It is, yes. Yeah, especially when I'm at the beach. And I get a lot of ideas there.
Well, it's fantastic. Our guest tonight, Lori, pronounce your last name again. I've screwed it up so much.
Biagini.
Biagini. That's what I kept thinking. And you, when I had talked to you last night, and we were just, you know, chatting, and Melissa Hovey, my technical producer, I said, Melissa, I am having such trouble. So I've got it now, because now I can look. I have your photograph here on my monitor, and Laura Biagini, because I dream of Jeannie. I'll never forget it now.
Okay. Yeah, that was my Halloween picture, too.
I made the perfect
picture on Halloween. I put my face on Jeannie. So
you did?
Biagini for Halloween, yeah.
Oh, my Lord. That's wild.
It was my Facebook profile picture for Halloween, yeah.
That's fantastic. Well, you could do that. I will have to say that when I was a youngster, I did have a crush on Barbara Eden at about 11 years old, whenever it was on. But anyway, something our audience doesn't care about. This portion of the program, Larry Batson's Wild World, with our great musician and songstress and writer, Lori Biagini. We'll be back in just a few moments. We also want to thank McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado, on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park. That's God's country, well, next to British Columbia. Go to their website, info@McGregorMountainLodge.com. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back, everybody.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Here's a hot topic about our wildlands and living with the natural role of fire.
Yard work is not just a matter of pride when you live in the wildland-urban interface. It's also about survival. Here are some FireWise tips that can help protect your home from wildland fire. Prune your trees 6 to 10 feet above the ground. Remove dead leaves and branches and dispose of them before fire season. Water your lawn regularly and store firewood away from the house. Be prepared for a fire emergency by having a plan for your family and pets. Learn more at our website, and then sit back and enjoy. You worked for it.
This hot topic was made possible by the Teresa and H. John Hines III Foundation. Learn more about the natural role of fire, how to protect your community, and get the latest fire information. Visit the National Interagency Fire Center website at NIFC.gov. That's NIFC.gov.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
Hello, everyone. This is Larry Batson. You are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Our guest tonight, Lori Biagini. She'll be right back with us in just a moment. We want to tell everyone, next week on the show, Ken Owen, Media Director of DePaul University here in Greencastle, Indiana. He's a pretty exciting guy. He puts all the speakers and so forth together for this fantastic university located on the western part of Indiana. And we're going to talk about experiences with such things as former Russian leader Gorbachev and some of the fantastic book authors and writers and artists. And it's going to be a great show. So be sure. Fascinating talking to Ken Owen. Also, he's probably the number one Todd Rundgren fan in North America. So we'll probably talk about that as well. Then the week after, everybody, Chris France from Talking Heads will be joining us. We'll be talking about the Tom Tom Club. And, well, that night we're going to Stop Making Sense with Chris France from percussionist, drummer, backbone behind the fantastic band The Talking Heads. And then a big thank you to Oki Finoki Joe, who's going to join us on the 17th as we go back down to South Carolina and discover some of his fantastic rural music and also his naturalist programs that he puts on all across North America. We'll be talking gators and snakes that night, so we can look forward to that. We'd like to thank you, RadioMom.fm, in the home of the Radio Mom Shop, where you can save 50, 60, 70% on vacations, restaurants, and a variety of other goods and services. And listen to my show every Sunday. That's right, the 70s on Sunday, 12 to 7 on RadioMom.fm. That goes all around the world on the Internet. And also a big thank you to Santee Cooper Country in beautiful South Carolina, Lake Marion, Lake Moultrie, known as the Santee Cooper Lakes. Big lakes, 171,000 acres and 450 miles of shoreline. Fantastic fishing, amazing golf, and go to their website at santeecoopercountry.org. And, Lori, I have to tell you, being you are the birder that you are, that about, let me think, 3 years ago, a friend of mine and I had an opportunity to go down to Santee. Have you ever been to South Carolina before?
No.
Well, it's pretty amazing. What's really amazing, it's warm almost all year round, so that's one big plus. But we went on this jungle tour back in this swamp lake area, and we actually saw the trees that were that had since died, but they had these huge holes in the side that had been made by ivory-billed woodpeckers.
Oh.
Which are now, of course, well, they think they're extinct, but there have been some sightings in southern portions of Arkansas and Louisiana, so I thought that was just too cool.
Yeah.
Do you like to go fishing?
Fishing? Well, I caught one fish in my life, and it was traumatic, so I don't really do that anymore.
What was it, the ending of the fish's life or the handling of the bait?
Oh, I didn't care about the bait. No, it was the fish. The fish. I was in a rowboat by myself in the ocean, and I was 13, and I caught a rockfish, and I didn't know what to do with it. And once I caught it, I hit it with the oar of the boat, and then I thought it was. Oh, there's my cat. She just walked on the piano. I hit the thing with the oar of the boat, and I thought it was dead. And then I'm rowing back to shore, and the thing came alive and started flipping around again, and it's staring at me with these giant eyes. And I was freaking out and screaming, and then I had to kill it, and then I had to clean it, and then I had to eat it, and then that was it.
No more. That must have been horrible.
Yeah, so I don't go fishing anymore.
You know, it's like one experience like that will completely traumatize someone.
Yeah. So, and it didn't taste as good as the fish you get at the fish and chip shops anyway, so I don't know. Just,
well, you know, that I've always thought that. And I hate to say this. Of course, I'm kind of like the animals alive, but anymore when I go fishing, and I haven't been so long, I feel so bad I want to put the fish back because I thought, this animal has lived this long, swam around these waters that long, and I've caught it, and I've basically decided that's it, it's over. And when you think about that, it's like, gosh, I feel like a chump.
Yeah, I felt that way at the time, too. So.
But anyway, we want to thank Santee Cooper Country. Well, it's fantastic to have you on the show. We want to talk about some of these things that you were involved in. Now, one of the things you'd mentioned, in fact, I have to say that I did not even understand or comprehend a word of it. And I made myself a note here. Something about parallel between plants and animals, and I think I simplified it to the bone.
Yes.
And their relationship to their natural world.
Yes.
Could you clarify that just a little bit more for me?
Okay, well, basically, we start with all levels of life. So, I mean, they start with, like, mosses and very, very simple plant forms to, this is really hard to do, you know.
What's so hard to do?
Because I graduated from university in 1991, so to remember.
Well, you
this
can be simple.
Now, like,
see, we're not that smart.
Yeah. Okay.
So even if you lie to us.
Biogeography is the study of the distribution of plant and animal communities known as biomes according to factors in their habitat, which in a geographic sense, physical geography, we take the characteristics of their natural environment, which includes terrestrial and atmospheric conditions such as the soil type where the plants grow, that the worms eat, that the birds eat, that the the food chain basically. And so there are certain places like on island habitats where certain communities of plants and animals have been introduced in various ways. And You know, a bird could have eaten a seed on the mainland and flown to an island and deposited the seed intact, and a whole new ecosystem starts from things like that. And then basically the animals, they also follow the food sources too. So
right,
it's complex. There's Well, I took a lot of courses, and
I know that you did. I read all of these. I was just totally blown away. Well, you've simplified it for me. Now when someone mentions this subject, I will know in my feeble little brain exactly. You see, I had this concept, Lori. Now listen to me. You are a businesswoman.
Yes.
And I had this concept. Now we have two black bears,
mm-hmm.
two full-grown black bears that we have in our compound. And here was my idea. Now, you feed the black bear a watermelon with seeds in it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the black bear consumes the entire watermelon, including the seeds.
Right.
So the seeds proceed to go through the black bear's, how should I put this?
Digestive system?
Yes, I was going to say plumbing, but
okay.
through the digestive system. And then, of course, the seeds are not digested, so they come out with the bare leftovers.
Yes.
So here was my concept. All these people that want to have a garden inside that, well, maybe live in downtown Vancouver where they just, you know, they have to bring the outdoors to them.
Mm-hmm.
They could actually, and I even had an idea for this, Lori. I was going to call it bear loaves. And you could buy it in little packages in different flavors. Watermelon, cantaloupe, corn. Yeah. And basically you take the entire bear loaf and put it in your little pot and then it will grow.
Okay.
And you know why I thought this was such a great idea? Because years ago, my wife, we had a compost pile with mainly bear leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife, when she plants her garden, she'd always plant three of each plant, but she'd buy five and she'd just pick the three best looking ones, and those are the ones that she would plant. And I'd say, what are you going to do with those? She said, well, I'm not going to plant them. So I'd throw them back to the compost pile that I had created on my own. And you'd go back there like a month later and you'd have watermelons the size of North Dakota.
Oh, that's what happened with potato peels in my dad's compost box. He had grass clippings in there. This was in the 70s, and we put potato peels in there. And then at the end of the year, when he's getting the newly made compost out for the garden, he's finding these giant potatoes in there, that, you know, foot long potatoes. It was amazing.
Well, it's a heck of a marketing idea, I think. Where basically the seeds are already in the fertilizer. Of course, you'd have to sell it fairly quick, I think.
Speaking of bears, you know, we have them in our neighborhoods here.
You do? How close?
Well, they go into people's backyards. There was a story where one of our grocery stores that has an in-store bakery in North Vancouver, they were making, what is it, boysenberry pies one morning. And the forest is very close to the store, okay, because North Vancouver is close to the North Shore Mountains where we have the ski hills, you know, the Olympics, all that stuff. Well, a bear wandered into the grocery store, into the bakery, looking for the pies. I thought that was kind of funny, actually.
Sounds like a story Dr. Henry Day would tell.
I'm glad I wasn't working at that store at the time. But
you were?
And you know how, you know, when you go into a grocery store, a lot of them have automatic doors that, you know, they just see, the automatic eye sees and opens the door, and the bear walked right in.
He did?
Yeah.
Now,
right.
And you were working there, did I hear you correctly?
No, I said I'm glad I wasn't working.
Oh, you're glad you weren't.
I work in an office tower in downtown, so.
You don't have problems with bears in there, do you?
No, we haven't had any bears yet.
At least
But I do see bald eagles in the sky circling the buildings and stuff.
Now, how cool is that?
That is super cool. I love eagles. They're beautiful.
Oh, they're most fantastic. Well, we have an eagle nest just down the road from here in Indiana because since the DDT thing was quit many years ago, the eagles have come back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have lots of them in Canada.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's bald eagles everywhere. Lots of hawks, too, and ospreys, and they're amazing.
Well, here, it's a national treasure still. I mean, people still get quite, well, I get excited even if there were a lot of them, but, yeah, it's a big deal. I mean, one nest we have here, it's a major tourist attraction.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there'll be 20 cars down here congregated watching the eagles come in and feed the youngsters, which is going to start here soon, probably. But you're so lucky in that part of the world because the nature's basically in your back door.
It is, yeah. And I've seen orcas in the ocean and occasional whale, lots of seals, especially when the Ulican fish are running up the Fraser River. The seals they basically have a buffet there waiting, so you see lots of seals in the river.
So is that a trip up to watch the seal show every year?
Well, yeah. I mean, you could see the seals also, I mean, we have up on Grouse Mountain, which is the major tourist mountain right across the harbor from downtown. Mm-hmm. You can take a gondola up to the top there, and they have bears in an enclosure. It's a huge enclosure, so it's not
mm-hmm.
like they're in the zoo or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But they just have this fenced-off area, and there's bears and all kinds of eagles and birds and stuff, and you don't have to go very far to see it. Or even in the summertime and beginning of the fall, you can see the salmon jump. You know, they're going up the river to spawn, so they're
mm-hmm.
all red in color, and you can see them jumping the rapids, and it's really quite amazing.
I think the folks in that part of the world, in Canada, well, anyone that lives along the coast like that, and so close to Mother, they're so connected to the outdoors.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I love it.
And they appreciate. I have to say that probably one of the cleanest places that I'd ever been to was up through Banff in Canada. I mean,
mm-hmm.
roads. It's just like they took a real pride
yeah.
in the way that their country looks.
Did you have any bighorn sheep visiting you on the road?
Well, I'll tell you one of the funniest things. For years, we went to Colorado to Rocky Mountain National Park and. They said bighorn lived there, but for years we didn't see a one.
Right,
and because they were way up in the high country, and there wasn't really that many. But in Waterton Peace Park, right there by Glacier, right when you're going up into Canada, like I know you're getting ready to say, they were in the road, and
mm-hmm.
they had their heads in the cars.
Oh, yes, yes.
And I told that to a U.S. Fish and Wildlife officer, and what attracts him, he told me what attracts him more than anything, and this is kind of disgusting, cigarette butts.
Ew, yeah, that's
yes.
kind of disgusting, yeah.
But my family, we were like blown away. I thought, this is almost like going through one of those game parks, and here we are in the wilds of Montana and Canada. It was like unbelievable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then we went up into Yoho, and saw mountain goats and dall sheep,
okay.
which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely amazing. So enough for the animals. What's on store for Lori? What's coming up in your career?
Well, I'm working on my third album right now. And,
fantastic.
Pardon me?
As I said, fantastic.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, so I'm working on the third album. I've released two albums, Far Out Place and Riding the Wave. And I don't know, right now I'm really focusing on just getting the songs written and ready for the third album. I don't know when I'm going to release it because I only have it half done now. And the songwriting's kind of spontaneous, so...
Mm-hmm.
Whenever it hits me, and that I usually record something pretty fast because it's all in my head, and I'm trying to remember it as much as I can.
Well, I know you were classically trained, but do you play piano by ear as well?
Oh yeah, yeah. I when I first got my piano, I was 5 years old, and I think I got it in around May or something, and I was slated to start taking my lessons in September when school started again, and.
Mm-hmm.
In between May and September, I already started teaching myself to play by ear before I even started taking lessons. And then you know, lessons kind of forced me to use the right fingers on the right notes and how to read notes off of, you know, sheet music and all that stuff. But it was great technique because it really improved my skills. So, but yeah, I've been playing all along by ear.
So is your studio in your home? Are you lucky enough to have that kind of luxury?
Yes, yes, and I'm
wow.
in it right now. Yeah.
So what's the process of putting it? Now, I know you write all of your own material, and you write some of your stuff with fellow musicians. Is that correct?
Well, in this third album, I'm starting to bring a few guest musicians in just to give a little bit of a different flavor to the music.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly I write everything by myself. Like in the first two albums, everything was all me.
So you and you go into your own recording studio. How many musicians do you work with on your albums? Do you play all the instruments as well, or
well,
I know
it's all me.
Guitar...
Everything's me, except
fantastic.
For the mastering. Yeah.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah. I have some good recording software, and I have my digital piano here, and some percussion instruments, and. And now I'm learning guitar because I have a computer program that I use for the existing guitar in the other songs. But, my goal is to be able to play lead guitar solos in my own music. So there I've said it. I'm hoping that I can learn that, although I'm picking it up pretty quick.
Well, I think with your expertise on the piano and I play the piano as well, and I found that when I picked up a guitar, a lot of it, as I'm sure you've already found out, can be directly applied.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Like, the background knowledge is there. It's just getting acquainted with frets instead of keys, you know, and the finger positions, and especially with some of the harder chords and learning the bar chords. That's takes a bit getting used to, but...
Well, you know what I found out? That you could make a guitar sound pretty good before you could make a piano. I mean, the process, once you've had your background in piano. Maybe I'm nuts, but that's what I thought.
Hmm.
Because basically you're just working with one hand versus two on a piano.
Yeah, oh, that was funny. Yeah, I was remembering when I first started playing piano, and I thought, I'm never going to be able to play with two hands at the same time. Well...
It's intimidating.
Yeah.
And but what I have the feeling, you had the love for wanting to do it versus someone that says you're going to take lessons and you're going to practice 1 hour every day. And
yeah, well, I mean, the classical stuff I found actually quite boring. Like, I like rock and roll, so I found that I would be playing rock and roll music every day of the week, and then about half an hour before my piano lesson, I would practice like crazy for 15 minutes, and then I'd go and I'd wing it.
Well, I have to say one thing. When I'm listening to your recordings, and I knew that you played, I hope that you played, because I think the piano portions of your recordings are absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, well, thank you.
I love the... It reminded me so much of the early British... I know you know these artists, Billy J. Kramer and the Dakotas.
Yes.
A lot of the stuff the Beatles did when they incorporated piano into it. Obviously the Searchers, Leslie Gore.
Yeah.
And the rhythm stylings and the way that the notes worked with the music, I found an incredible parallel with the 64 and 65 popular music that we were listening to.
Oh, thank you.
It was great. It was absolutely great. And like I said, anybody loves that part of the music history, you need to hook up. Let's get your website out. Tell us your website so if they want to have the opportunity to buy your CDs, they can do that.
Okay. Well, I have a brand new website. My official website is now lauriebiagini.com. So that is spelled LaurieBiagini. So it's lauriebiagini and then .com. And that takes you to the official website where I have links to places to buy my music. But mostly, if you want a physical copy, you basically go through CD Baby. So if you go to cdbaby.com and you do a search for my name, it'll come up. And I'll have my two albums are there. But I'm also on iTunes and those other digital places for people who like to get the MP3s. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's all changed now.
But
I think it's all changed for the better. I mean, the marketing abilities now, especially for a musician, that you basically want to be your own boss.
That's right, yeah.
Where you have complete control of what you record and play and what your audience will get in a finished product. And I think nowadays it's more exciting than ever for anyone that's interested in the music industry.
Oh, it is. It's very exciting.
I was so totally impressed that you have over almost 5,000 fans alone on Facebook.
Oh.
So I encourage everyone that's a Facebook member or play with the Facebook, check out Lori on the Facebook, because it's and you bring back so many of the great old songs that we know and love so much.
Oh, you mean with my groovy song pick of the day?
Yeah. Hey, I have something I'd like to ask of you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when this career really skyrockets, I definitely, well, even maybe before that, we'd like to have you on again.
Okay.
But I'm going to have a guest on in the next few weeks. I probably really shouldn't divulge this because usually that's a jinx, but you're familiar with Jan and Dean.
Oh, yes. Holy moly, am I ever. Yes. Sorry.
Well, we're going to have, it looks like, and it'll be over the next couple months, Dean Torrence is going to be on the show.
Oh, right on.
So I would like to invite you back to be a co-interviewer.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Would you do that?
I would love that.
We're working on that right now, and it looks like it's going to happen. And I'm familiar, but obviously you probably I think it'd be very cool to have you back on and chat with for an evening with us on a Thursday night from 10 to 11 with half of Jan and Dean Torrence.
I would love that. I saw Jan and Dean in 1986,
mm-hmm.
When they were at Expo 86, and oh my God, it was amazing. And I got to meet Jan after the show, and it was just like, oh, I can't even describe it. I'm getting all tongue-tied thinking about it, but it was amazing. And
well,
also met Brian Wilson, too, which that was also amazing,
oh,
too.
My. Well, it looks like our good friend Al Jardine, he just got back from Japan with his band, which I guess Dean Torrence tours with Al. And they,
okay.
And they, yeah, and they play music together. But the Beach Boys, it looks like you're going to have a 50th reunion. They're just trying to get all the particulars put together and play some shows.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that'd be great.
And as you know, they did a show, was it a week ago, 2 weeks ago, for Ronald Reagan event? I can't remember, but...
Yes, I heard about that.
All of them got back together, so that's absolutely fantastic news. Laura, you've been absolutely amazing. Gosh, we appreciate so much you being on our program tonight.
Thank you.
It's. I encourage everyone to go to our website, lauriebeaginny.com, and then the link to the able to buy the CDs, or two CDs, A Far Out Place, Riding the Wave. And if you love the 60s sound, the Beach Boys, Del Shannon, gosh, Leslie Gore, maybe a little British Invasion sprinkled over the top. It's all there. It's fantastic, and we really appreciate you being on the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
We want to tell everybody, before we slip away here, that next week on the program, Ken Owen's going to join us from DePaul University in Greencastle, Indiana. He's media director there, and he's had the opportunity to work with such notables as former President Gorbachev and some of the other guests he's brought into DePaul University. Of course, he's a big Todd Rundgren fan. Are you a Todd Rundgren fan, Lori?
Not really.
You're not familiar with the music, are you?
I'm not familiar. I'm stuck in the 60s. I'm seriously stuck in the 60s, so I'm not
okay.
familiar with much.
What I'm
modern.
Going to do is I will put a CD together, and you'll have a new love.
Okay.
I guarantee it.
Okay.
Guarantee it. We'll put that together, and I'll send it off to Canada. Lori, we'd like to thank you. We'd like to thank Melissa Hovey, Wayne Larson, of course, Jim Johnson, Dr. Henry Day. What a dandy, Doctor.
No kidding. Thank you, Lori, for rocking my world like you only know how.
Oh, my God. Yes, but, that's a cut on A Far Out Place. Yes.
That's one of my favorites.
Oh, I'm glad you like it.
Well, we told you we've been listening to this music, so, yeah, we've all become Laura Beaginny freaks, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Folks, join us next week. Have a great week, everybody. This is Larry Batson, and you have been listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Larry Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.